Okay, we're at the end of Daf Mem He Omud Base. I think we got right to the bottom, almost.
I think we finished the bottom, no?
We got to the bottom? Yeah, we got to the bottom. So we're up to the top of Daf Mem Vav Omud Aleph, quite right. Says the Gemara, Reb Zeira Cholash, Reb Zeira became ill, Ol Legabei Reb Avohu. So Reb Avohu went up to go and visit him to Mekayim the Mitzvah B'Kochelim. Kibul Aleis, he was Mekabel on himself, E Mitpach, Katina. Katina was Chorich Shoki. Rashi says that was what his name was. That's what was a reference to Reb Zeira. If Reb Zeira heals and he recuperates, then Ovidna Yoima Tova L'Rabbonon. Then I'm going to make a big Suda for the Rabbonon, which is what he did. Itpach. Eventually, Reb Zeira did recuperate. He recovered from his illness. And as promised, Reb Avohu made a big Suda. Ovat Sudasa L'Kulu Rabbonon. So he made a Suda Sahidoya to all the Rabbonon, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing about a Refuah Shalema for Reb Zeira. Ki Mota L'Mishrei. When it came time to cut the bread, in other words, Birkas Hamitzi, Omalele Reb Zeira, he said to Reb Zeira, Lishri Lon Mar, will the master please cut the bread? You should say Birkas Hamitzi. Omalele Loi Savar Lon Mar, do you, Reb Avohu, not hold the Hod Reb Yechanan? Don't you hold the Reb Yechanan's Psak, the Omar Balabayis, Beitzea? So why are you being Mechabed me to cut the bread? I'm only a guest, but you're the host, you're the Balabayis, and therefore, you should be the one cutting the bread, which is what he did. Shari Luhu, so he cut the bread and said, I'm waiting to see. Next part of the story, Kimota Levaruchi, when it came to benching, in other words, Birkas Hamazon, Omalei Navrich Lonmar. So once again, he was Mechabed Reb Zeira. First time to say Birkas Hamazon, he refused. Now to do Zimun. And once again, he refused. Omalei Loi Savar Lonmar, does the master, you, Reb Avohu, not hold of Lahadar of Huna? The Minbovel? What did Rav Huna Minbovel say? The Omar, Boitzea Mavorich. Whoever says Hamoitzi in the beginning of the Suda, he should be the one to finish off as well by benching. So if you began, you should finish. The EU commands fearly. So what about Rav Avohu himself? Who does he hold like? Why was he being Mechabed Reb Zeira to bench? After all, Reb Zeira was not the Boitzea. The answer is, you're right, but he held of a different opinion. The Balabayis should be Beitzea, which is what he did. But the guest should be Mavarech. Why? Balabayis Beitzea, Kadesh Yivtseva Ein Yofes, that he should distribute generous pieces of bread. It's his bread. He can do whatever he likes. So therefore, he wants to distribute it generally. He should be the one making a bracha. Why is the oireach mevorech? Kadesh yevorech balabais. This is the bracha of the balabais, that he benches the balabais. My mevorech. Yirotzin shalo yevosh balabais v'ilm hazeh. He should not be embarrassed v'ilm hazeh. V'lo yikolim lo'ilm habo. He shouldn't be ashamed in olim habo. V'rebi moisif bo dvorim. V'yitzlach mo'oid. And this is the nusach as we have it in the bencha. Yitzlach ma'oy b'chol nechosa v'yu nechoseinu, nechosa v'nechoseinu mutzlochim u'krivim lo'ir. Very interesting line. By the way, this refers to also Chavos Olav Shara Abitochin, because you're giving the bracha to the Balabais that his property should be close to the city. The Chavos Olav talks about whether it's a correct thing to travel long distance for Parnasa. You see over here that we're giving a bracha, it should be krivim lo'ir. Va'al yishloit satan le'bemasi yodov, le'bemasi yodeinu, the satan should not get the better of him or me. Va'al yizdake le'lefonov, le'lefonenu, shum dvar hirur chet, va'veira v'ovoin me'atov yadoilam, which is basically the nusach as we have it in the bencha. Okay. Says the Gemara, this was a very yesoidistic and a difficult sugya. Ad heichon birkas hazimun. So I think we now know the Ad Heichon Birkas Hazimun can be explained in several ways. Rashi learned the Ad Heichon Birkas Hazimun simply means how much of benching do you say when there's a Zimun? As opposed to how much of benching do you say when there's no Zimun? And this was Rashi's famous opinion that Tosfos did not like at all. And that is that the first bracha of Hazon is only ever said when there is a Zimun. According to Rashi, that is the sugya. Tosfos learned completely different. Tosfos says that cannot be the sugya. Birkas Hazon is never missed out. It's non-negotiable. It's a bracha d'oraisa. And under no circumstances can that bracha missed out, even if there is no Zimun, and therefore he disagreed with Rashi. He had other questions as well, but that was the main question. Therefore, he learned that it's a completely different sugya. And he says that we're talking about the case where one person has to interrupt his su'uda because two have finished theirs. So remember, this is the Gemara. We just did Chazar of it yesterday. You have three people eating a meal. Two have finished. One has not. So the one has to pause and he has to listen to the other two do Zimun. Says Tosfos, that's the Shaila we're discussing. How long does he have to pause for? Does he have to pause till the end of Birkas Hazon? Or does it suffice to pause just for the Rabbi Sai Nevorich? We saw yesterday a third pshat in Tosfos on Amud Beis, but for the moment, let's just keep it at Rashi and Tosfos. So says the Gemara. Ad heichon Birkas Hazimun. How much is Birkas HaZimun, as we've just explained, various different ways of understanding that question. Rav Nachman Omar Ad Nevorech, Rav Sheshes Omar Ad Hazon. So according to Rashi, that means where there's a Zimun, you will say Hazon. And where there's no Zimun, then you do not say Hazon. Big Chiddush. According to Tosfos, that's not the discussion. Says the Gemara, Neima Ketanoi, let us suggest that this machlokes amoroim that we've just mentioned is in fact a long-standing machlokes tanoim. Why? The Tani Choda, because we've learned in one brisa, Birkas Hamozen Shnayim v'Shloisha. The Tani Yiddich Shloisha v'Arba'ah. So we seem to have a discrepancy between two brises. One brisa said that benching is either two or three brachas. I've got another braisa that says it's either three or four brachas. So what does that mean? Says the Gemara, the way you could learn is as follows. Savruha, the way we understood it, is the kula alma hatoi v'ameitiv lav d'oraisa. We're for the moment assuming that hatoi v'ameitiv is not d'oraisa, therefore we're not making mention of that bracha at all. So what is the discussion between the two braisas? My love, wouldn't it be true to say the Baha Komifagi? This is what we're debating. Manda Omar Shtaim Vesholoish Kosovar Ad Hazon. The one who says, the Brisa that says you say either two or three brachas, he's going with opinion that says Ad Hazon, which means that where there's a Zimun, you say Hazon, and where there's no Zimun, you do not say Hazon. So for that really means that benching is either two or three brachas. If there's no Zimun, it'll just be two, because you begin from Noida Lecha, and if there is a Zimun, you begin from the beginning, so there'll be three brachas. Whereas the second Raisa, Uman Doma Sholesh V'Arba Kosovar Ad Nevorech, he clearly holds that no. The only difference between Zimun and not Zimun is whether you say Nevorech or not. Not whether you say Hazon, you always say Hazon. Therefore, benching is a minimum of three brachas. It might be four if you include Nevorech. So therefore, three or four, or two or three, is basically the machlokes. Do you say Hazon when there's no Zimun? So the machlokes Amoraim seems to be a machlokes Tanoim. Says the Gemara, no, loy, it's not true. Rav Nachman metaretz l'ta'amei, Rav Sheshes metaretz l'ta'amei. Every one of the Amoraim could easily learn both brises, and the machloikas in the two brises is not necessarily the machloikas Amoraim at all. Why? Someone says, well, let's take this slowly. Rav Nachman metaretz l'ta'amei. Remember, Rav Nachman was the one who said, ad nevorech. So, Tukula Alma Ad Nevorech. He says the debate between the two brises is not whether it's Hazon or Nevorech. Everybody agrees to my opinion, it's Ad Nevorech. So what is the discussion? Banda Omar Sholesh Va'arba Shapir. The Braisa says three or four, well, that needs no explanation, because it's either three including Hazon or it's four including Nevorich. Uman, the Omar, Shtaim, Vesholish, what's going on? You see that there is a precedent that you only say two or three brachas. What's going on? Amalacha, Hocha, Birkas, Poyalim, Oskinon. We're talking about the bracha of Poyalim, which we've mentioned already. The Omar Ma, Poyseach, Ba'azon, the Koilil, Boin Yerushalayim, Birkas, Aretz. So the Poyalim really do miss out one of the brachas. They don't obviously miss out Hazon, but they amalgamate the second and the third brachas, and that's why you end up in a situation where you actually only have two brachas. How can you only have two brachas? Meaning there's no zimun, so you're not saying Rabbi Yisai Nevarich. You'll say the first bracha of Hazon, plus you'll say the second and third bracha as one. Therefore, says Rav Nachman, you see that the debate between the two braisas is not, do you miss out Hazon or you don't miss out Hazon? That's not the discussion. Everybody agrees that you say Hazon under all circumstances. And the difference between the two braisas is, are we talking about a normal case or are we talking about Poyalim? That's how Rav Nachman will learn these braisas. What about Rav Sheshes? Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes on the third wide line, Mataritz Litame, the Kula Alma Ad Hazon. Everybody agrees Ad Hazon, which means Hazon really is negotiable. Man Doma Shtaim V'Sholosh Shapeh, very good. So benching is really either two or three brachas, because if there's no Zimun, you start from Neidah Lecha. Man Doma Sholosh V'Arba, how do you get to three or four? Kosova Atev Ametiv is Da'iraisahi. That's how you get to three or four. So if there's no Zimun, you'll say Neidah Lecha, Bain Yerushalayim, and Atev Ametiv. If there's Zimun, you'll add Hazon. So each one of the two opinions can quite happily learn both Braises to fit in with his own personal opinion, and therefore we've knocked out the Lema Katanoi. Says the Gemara, Omar of Yosef, Peida, let us bring a proof that Toi Vamitiv Lav Da'iraisa.
By the way, you should know that, do you have your door open now? The transmission is fine. There are no blips at all.
There's no blips. Okay. So it could be because the door's open, although, you know, I'm going to try an experimental. I'm going to close the door and tell me if it's any worse or better. Okay. Tell me if it's any worse. It might be worse, but at least you're allowed to tell mother-in-law jokes now. So.
So I say it, B'Shem Omro?
No, you can say other things in my name. Not the joke. So we have a discussion. Is Ateva Meitiv Deiraisa or not Deiraisa? So Rabbi Yosef says, I have a proof that it's not Deiraisa. Why? Shaharei Poyalim Oikrim Oisa. Because Poyalim uproot the bracha, as we've just said. Poyalim do not say the fourth bracha of benching, and that would surely suggest that it's not on the same level, and that it's only a bracha derabbanon. Omer of Yitzhak bar Shmuel ba'amar to mishmei derav, another raya that teda da tevamitiv lav deiraisa, shari poiseach baba baruch. It begins with the magic word baruch vein chosim baba baruch. But why does it begin with the baruch? Surely it should be a bracha hasmucha lechaverto. As we learned last time, when you have two brachas juxtapositioned, one next to another, then the second one does not begin with the word baruch.
Getting blips.
It is getting blips now?
Yes.
Maybe it is the door. Al kolponim. So why does Ateva Meitiv not begin with the word Baruch? So what would that suggest? It would suggest that we don't consider it Samuch Lechaverta, because it's a brand new part of benching in as much as it's only Drabonon. And the Gemara brings the Braisa now. Kedatanya Kol HaBrocha is Kulon Poiseach Bohen BaBaruch V'Choysem Ben BaBaruch. Every Brocha, as a general rule, there are many exceptions, but as a general rule, they begin and end with Baruch. Chutz mi Berkas HaPeiros, Berkas HaMitzvos, Brachas Smucha Lechaverto. ubracha achreina shebekriya shema. Those are different. Yesh mehen, some of those, poseach behem b'baruch, ve'en chesem b'baruch. Some begin but don't end. For example, brachas on mitzvahs. We all said this morning, laniach tefillin, esatei patales. Those begin with a baruch and don't end. And some are the other way around. Ve'yesh mehen shechesem behem b'baruch. Some, however, the other way around, they finish with a baruch, ve'en poseach b'baruch. V'hatoiva meitiv. Guess what? Poseach b'baruch. It does begin with the opening word baruch. Ve'en chosim b'baruch. Now, why is that? Surely our teva mitzvah should be considered a bracha smucha lechaverto. So, what do I see from there? Nechlal, the bracha b'fnei atzma. You see, it's a totally independent bracha, and it's not considered to be a continuation of the previous bracha. Why so? The answer is because not a continuation. Because the first brachas indeed are the Raisa, and yet this is merely the Rabbanon. So we have a number of proofs. So far, two, that Atayu Meitiv is not the Raisa. Here comes another one. V'oma, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Teida, another proof, third proof. What's the ra that Teva Mitzvah is not deraisa? Shaharei oikrin oiso bebeis ha'ovel. Because the third bracha is also removed in the base ha'ovel. It's not appropriate to talk about, remember we said about Teva Mitzvah and Gmolonu, but were Teva Mitzvah to be a deraisa, then how can you possibly miss it out? Tanya, as we have in a brayso, it says, "Ma'him oimrim beis ha'avol." What said in the bracha of the beis ha'avol? Baruch atoiv v'amitiv. According to the first opinion, you say atoiv v'amitiv, and Rabbi Kiva oimer baruch dain ha'emes atoiv v'amitiv in dain emes. Lo according to the first opinion, elo emo af v'atoiv v'amitiv. But either way, you see that according to Rabbi Kiva, atoiv v'amitiv is dropped. And you just say a dino emes. So how can you possibly drop any bracha were it to be deraisa? Elomai, it's not deraisa. That's the biggest proof. It's not deraisa, it's merely drabon. So those are the three proofs that Atayva Meitiv is not deraisa. Proof number one is that poyalim miss it out. Proof number two is that it's not considered a bracha smucha lechaverto. Proof number three is you see that an oval misses it out. It must be drabon, and that's where we pass it. Says the Gemara, Marzutra, Ikla lebei Ravashi. Marzutra came to the house of Ravashi, Isra bei Milsa. He had a bad event, meaning he was sitting Shiva. Posach uborech. So he began by making a bracha, Hatoiv v'hameitiv, and he amalgamated it, a long bracha. Hatoiv v'hameitiv, Kael emes, Dayon. Emes, Shoifet B'tzedek, Loikeach B'mishpot, B'shalit V'oilomoi, Lases B'yikir Tzoynoi, Kichol D'roch of Mishpot, Shakoil Shalai, everything belongs to Rabbeinu Shalom, Anachnu Amoi V'avodol V'chol, Anachnu Chayovim Lohide Izloi, Ulevorchoi, Goyder Pirtzis B'Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu is one who fences, breaches, means he heals the ones who are in pain in Klal Yisrael, so it's a tefillah. So he should also now seal up this breach. L'chaim. Finally, the Gemara says, L'heichon hu choyza. We saw a big balagan about this as well. Where does he go back to? Where does who go back to? Again, we saw Machloikas, Rashi, and Tosis about this. Rav Zvid mishmei da'abai omo choyza l'roish, v'rabon omo l'mokim sheposak, v'ilchasa l'mokim sheposak. Malach is you go back to the mokim sheposak. What does that mean? You go back. So again, we saw Machlokes, Rashi, and Tosfos. Tosfos learned, we're talking about a case where there are three people. One went to the street and he was called back. When he was called back,
question.
Where does he have to go back to when he resumes his own bench? That was Tosis in the name of the Ram Me'Aivra. Tosis himself said a different shot. Rashi had a completely different shot. Rashi had a pshat. Remember that again, it's talking about the person who interrupted his suuda and then carried on eating. Where does he resume? That's what Tosis didn't like. Again, what do you mean, where does he resume? If he carried on eating, of course he's got to go back to the beginning. What's the discussion for? So there seems to be a long-standing machloikas between Rashi and Tosis. Is there any precedent to miss out the bracha of Hazan? Okay, that is a completion of our chazara. We have a few minutes left, so I think we make a beginning to the next sugya. Very interesting sugya. Omale, says the Gemara, Reish Galusa L'Rav Sheshes. Who was the Reish Galusa? We're not told his name, but the Reish Galus, whoever was considered to be the head of Klal Yisrael in Galus, he said the following to Rav Sheshes.
I think he's retranslated in Art Scroll, the Exilarch.
The Exilarch. Okay.
Exilarch, A-R-C-H, Exilarch.
Right, okay. What is that? It's the Reish Galusa. Says the Gemara, Af Al Gav. This is what the Reish Galusa said to Rav Sheshes. Af Al Gav, the Rabbonon Kashishi Atun, comma. Kashishi means old or senior. Even though you are the senior Rabbonim, but I must tell you that Parasoi, the Persians, when it comes to Betzorke Suda, in the requirements for a Suda, Beki, they are experts, Minaihu, they are more expert than you. So this was the Reish Galusa was saying to Rav Sheshes. Yes, you are very great, illustrious Rabbonim, but when it comes to the halachas of the Suda and the conduct in the Suda, the Persians, they seem really to know what to do.
Is it Jewish Persians?
Yes. Presumably. Yes. I think so. We'll see from Hemshecha Gemara, that's what it seems to be. Okay, so what do the Persians do that is so commendable or admirable? Says the Gemara, they do the following. Now we have to remember, and this is what's always a little bit tricky whenever you're learning anything to do with the Suda, as the fact that the way they conducted themselves in the Suda, as we know in the Zman of Chazal, was completely different to the way that we do. And there were two major differences. There are a number of differences, but there are two major differences. Number one, they did not sit on chairs. Rather, it was couches or beds. That's one difference. And another difference is they did not have one communal table from which everybody ate. Rather, next to each person's couch or sofa, whatever it was, each person had a small table, which was brought to him with the food, and it was brought away when the food was finished. Basically, the table was used pretty much as a plate. So just like when we have a course served to us, the plate is brought to us. When we're finished, the plate is taken away. Their table really served as a plate. But each person had their own couch and each person had their own table. So the Reish Galusa tells Rav Sheshes, this is what they did in Parsoi, this is what the Persians do. Bizman Shehen Shtei Mitos. What happens if you have two beds? Meaning there are two people eating together. As mentioned, they don't sleep, they don't recline on the same bed. Each one has their own. So how exactly were they positioned? So you wouldn't have thought necessarily that a lot of thought goes into where the beds are. You just put them wherever you fancy. But he says, no, it was all thought out. What they did was, Bizman Shehem Shtei Mitois, Godoil may save Barosh, the Gadol, whoever is the greater of the two, he would recline first, Barosh, the first one. V'shein Eloi, and the one who is second to him, meaning the one who is less great, Lemalo Heimenu. What does it mean, Lemalo Heimenu? Literally translated, would be above him. Above him, Rashi explains that the bed, the couch, was situated such that it was not parallel to his own bed. Rather, it was at the direction, it was next to the head of where the Gadol was reclining. So let's have a look at Rashi. Bezman shem shtei mitos, says Rashi. Regilin hoyu, their custom was lechoil beheseva. They used to eat whilst reclining. Of course, we all know this from Seder night. But this is what they used to do. They used to recline al tzidoi hasmolis, on their left-hand side. They used to lean on their left. Muta. Muta means stretched out. Viraglov la'oretz. But their feet were on the ground. So they weren't lying on the bed like we would go to sleep, head and feet on the bed. Their feet were actually on the floor. So if you can imagine sitting on a couch, so your feet are very firmly planted on the floor, but then you incline with your head, as it were, resting on the couch. I don't think it actually means that their head was touching the couch. I think it was actually, Ramesh Zelig, the way you're leaning right now. I think that's exactly, I think that's exactly what it's meant. It was like that. I once saw, I think Rafi Smith sent me a video clip of Rabbi Belsky in America, who demonstrated Heseva, and he was coming to prove the point that a lot of people on Seder night, what they consider Heseva is nothing to do with Heseva. It's the most uncomfortable position.
Yes.
And that can't be what Chazal had in mind. And he demonstrated exactly how it should be done. He said he once saw hieroglyphics of the way it used to be done. And basically, it's a very minor position. It's not like a whole contortion. You have to lean over, head over heels. It's basically like you were sitting there. You're leaning over with perhaps your arm supporting your head. And that's what it is. So your feet is not literally lying on the couch. It's sitting on the couch, but your head inclined. Says Rashi in conclusion, V'raglov la'aretz, ish ish al mito achas. Man by man on one bed, each one had his own couch, each one was inclined on his own bed. Says Rashi, Bizman Shem Shnayim Godoil Mesev Barosh. Kloima, what does that mean? Mesev Tchilo Al Mitosei. He was the one to incline first on his bed. Roish means like Roish Hashanah, means the beginning. He was the one to incline in the beginning. He went down first. Vesheini Loi, and the one who was second to him, says Rashi. Lemalo heimenu. What does that mean, lemalo heimenu? Mitas hasheni, the bed of the second, was letzad merashoysov shel gadol. Merashoysov, we know from the pasuk in Pashas Vayetze, to the head of the gadol. So the beds, the couches, were not parallel to each other like that. Rather, you had one bed where the Gadol, his feet were on the floor, his head was over here. And then the second one had his couch like that. So if the head of the Gadol was over here, instead of having the two beds parallel to each other, the second one's bed was at the head of the Gadol, which is going to present problems, which the Gemara is going to explain, because if the Gadol who's over here now wants to converse with a person up here, then he's going to have to turn all the way around, because remember, his legs are over here, he's facing downwards. So in order to chat to somebody who's up here, he's going to have to turn himself around, which is a whole big balagan. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. We'll discuss more of this tomorrow, and for the moment, we'll have to press pause. We'll resume tomorrow mid-session.
Thank you, Shakar.
All the best. Have a great day, everybody.